Welcome to the Unfiltered Empowered Woman. I am your host, Ellen, and I am a female empowerment coach. That means that I help you stop people-pleasing, stop being controlled by anxiety and overthinking, breaking your bad habits, and stop letting food rule your life. It's time for you to take your power back and become an empowered woman. In this podcast, I will show you the unfiltered version of myself and my guests. You know, the stuff that we can't put on Instagram. I want to show you how living unfiltered means you can take that power back and live a truly empowered life. Now let's dig in. Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode. Today, as you would know, is a guest episode, and today I'm actually interviewing one of the first people who ever interviewed me, I think. I met this incredible woman, well, virtually, probably 2 or 3 years ago now, when she interviewed me for the Women's Fitness Academy podcast. And that was when I was nutrition coaching. So that was about flexible dieting and all those sorts of things. And since then, both of us have really pivoted from nutrition coaching to like more mindset, to podcasting, to doing all these sorts of amazing things. And, you know, I've had the pleasure to meet her in person, attended so many of her workshops in Bali. She's absolutely amazing. You probably already know who this person is. Her name is Sig. She is a body confidence coach. And I'm just so excited to have you on the podcast.
I'm so hyped up right now. I'm just like, yeah, let's go.
I was thinking about this morning. I was like, oh my God, like, I think that, or you're probably not the first person who I did a podcast with, but it was definitely like one, like top five or like the first five. And yeah, I was like, wow, like we've actually done, I come so far since then. Like both of us is like completely different.
So different. And I think it was in 2021 that I interviewed you. So it's like been over 3 years now. And I remember you were still in Sydney and you were just thinking about leaving to go to Bali. And we were talking about like the life transition and what you're going to do with Steve and like, where is he going to go? For those of you who don't know Steve, that's Ellen's dog, who's now with her family. But I just remember how long ago that was, that both of us were very in the midst of health and fitness, and we just started this journey of personal development.
Yeah, crazy. And I think that once you kind of start doing this journey of like both studying, or if it's reading books, listening to podcasts, like doing the deeper work, and I'm not just talking about listening to like Jay Shetty and like feeling good. I mean, like when you actually start understanding like shadow work and like what is your inner child and like your wounds and triggers and stuff like that, it literally becomes like an obsession. And it's like, you can't go a day without thinking about these things. Like it's just so interesting.
And I love so much of being able to experiment all of that and also experience that till today, because in my nature, I love deep and meaningful conversations. And when we're having like doing small talk, like surface level shit, it's so funny because people are usually the ones that tell me I'm the first one to ask this unconventional question that will trigger people, but then it will just open into a beautiful conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why we connect so well, because we're not about the small talk. We're about like having the deep level conversations about, oh, why is that? Like, why, what did you have to go through to get to that? And like, what are your childhood wounds? Then we want to know the deep level shit that no one else knows. And that's, I love that. And I think that like, once you start doing this work, it is so hard to just sit and have like chit chat, like just filling the room kind of chatter. Like I would rather just be quiet.
But it's so interesting because people don't know how to be in silence. And this is why so many people have these really small surface level conversations, because they don't know to sit in silence or be comfortable by not saying anything.
Yeah, exactly. It makes them so uncomfortable sitting there and just like, okay, I need to fill the room with something. So I'm just going to talk about the weather. Yeah, it's crazy. So for the people who don't know you, like I feel like we have a very similar audience anyway, but for the people who don't know who you are, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and like how you got into what you're doing now?
Sure. So I've been in the health and fitness industry for over 10 years, so since 2014. But over the last couple of years, as you mentioned, we've both kind of like pivoted from health and fitness to more of like the body confidence, binge eating, mindset realm side of things. And I've definitely noticed myself veering to that rebrand, where now I see myself as a body confidence coach, helping women navigate, through the negative body image, through binge eating, through unlocking all these like self-sabotage behaviors that are coming across their lifestyle. And this is something that I relate to so much because I suffered from those negative issues with food and body when I was really young. For like over 20 years, I suffered from like binge eating episodes, negative body image issues. I was nitpicking, I was body checking, I was bullied as well. So like all of these things just accumulated. And I just remember when I started pivoting to this space, I was just like, I wish I was this per I wish I had this person in my life when I was 15 or 16, whatever age that was. And now I'm able to be that person for women. Pretty much, well, not just in Australia, like all over the fucking globe, which is amazing. So yeah, I'm on a mission to like make go fucking world domination and change lives.
Yes, I love that so much. And we have a very similar like story about competing in bodybuilding and building confidence and binge eating and all this stuff. So can you tell us a little bit about that, like how your journey through like fitness and wanting to fit in and wanting to be a certain body size to really like stepping into the role that you have now, where you literally are like the confidence queen?
Wow, bodybuilding was a very big eye-opening to my relationship with my body and my food. The issues that I had back then wasn't because of bodybuilding. Like too often people come out of these competitions or certain industries in fitness and they're like they put the blame on that particular sport. However, I'm so thankful that I did compete and realized that it exposed me to the negative relationship I had with food to those previous years. And that really helped me to just navigate. Again, I didn't fix it straight away. It took like over 10 years. But when the penny just dropped, I just realized, oh, wow, like this was happening because A, I wasn't confident within myself. I was constantly doubting my ability to show up as my authentic self. I was trying to be someone who I wasn't, during bodybuilding and competing. I was trying to fit in because everyone was doing it. Everyone was competing. Everyone was wanting to be on the stage, but I didn't necessarily have that goal in mind. I was doing it to get external validation. And I'm saying that out loud because I'm sure maybe you can relate to this as well, Ellen. Like, as women, we're wanting to be seen where our presence is beautiful, like the feminine. She's there to be received and given, and she's wanting to be accepted. And I never felt that when I was younger. And I think that was a really negative way about going about it and not having the understanding of people will accept me as long as I start accepting myself and working to have a better relationship with my food and my body.
Yeah, I love that. And yeah, I 100% think that so many people go like that's like one of the reasons I competed in bodybuilding, or even started going to the gym, was because I wanted to look a certain way. And I think that we all have this core like this need of wanting to be loved and wanting to be accepted. And unfortunately, this society that we've been brought up in is so focused on how you look, and especially being a certain size, and like being smaller, and smaller is always better. And you don't really ever see it in any magazine covers that says like this is how you can put on weight, or this is how you can start like actually feeling comfortable in your skin. It's more about, okay, do this and then you will be good enough, or cover your skin up and then you will be happy. And so I think that if you're listening to this, like, don't feel bad for feeling this way, because it's unfortunately something that has become completely natural, and it is a byproduct of what we've been taught as children.
It's so true. And I'm so glad that you brought up the whole like fear of gaining weight and wanting to be like the smallest version of you. Because I remember coming out of this phase of bodybuilding and like being solely obsessed about being skinny. I remember the phase where I was trying to put weight on because A, I lost my period, and B, I was just so unhappy and unhealthy being so small, where the fear of gaining weight was making me shift back to dieting. It was like this constant yo-yo dieting phase where I was just like, I'll gain weight. But then that fixed mindset will be like, oh, hell no. Like, if you gain a kilo or two more, people are not going to love you. You're going to be fat. Like, people are going to look at your arms and be like, oh, shit, like, she's put on weight. But not realizing that I had to change that narrative in my head, going, I need to put on weight right now, because if I don't, I'm going to fuck up my hormones. And then later on in years, it's just going to make things even worse. So again, it was like a massive block in my brain that I was constantly trying to like push and pull until finally I pushed through it. And I was just like, okay, like this needs to be changed. And I did. And, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, it was so easy for me to change that narrative. It's just small baby steps. The first one is just like actually getting coached through it and not doing it yourself independently. And I'm sure you can relate to this as well, Ellen, is that we pursued our own way of being and coaching through this on our own. And that took us a very long time, like years, where now we coach women through this. And it takes them 2, 3 months instead of fucking 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. The best way to get like coaching is going to take you from here to here in like such a short amount of time. And well, at least if you have the right coach, right?
Yes.
Well, and also if you do the work, like if you have the best coach in the world and you're not willing to put in the work and actually look at the deep, fucking scary stuff, nothing's gonna happen for you. But yeah, like you said, like for me, it took over 10 years of struggling with this, of trying what I thought was everything, but because I didn't have any guidance, I didn't know if I was making progress or if my mind was just playing tricks on me to try and keep me staying the same. Because that's what our minds do. Like minds don't really want us to change. Like they're perfectly happy with you doing the same fucking self-sabotaging behavior every single day, because that's safe, that's familiar. So having a coach is really what's going to help you look beyond this and see like, okay, this is where you're actually standing in your own way, and this is what's not actually serving you. This is what you need to do in order to get to that next level. And that's why coaching will just fast track your progress. So I guess for us, we are so in the coaching space, and for us it's so normal to always work with a coach, always have a coach. So it's almost like, oh, what do you mean you don't, like, why wouldn't you get help with that? Like, of course you would.
Definitely. It's just like with therapy. If you notice yourself in the midst of anxiety or depression, I hope to God that you don't just sit with it and feel that you have to sit with those negative emotions for the rest of your life. It's just like actually asking for help. Like that is like the number one step of building confidence, is asking for help, telling people that you're not okay and you're needing a change. And I find that a lot of people are not open enough to express that they're not doing well. You know what? And that used to be me. Like I used to literally bottle everything up because I used to be scared of what people would say. Hence from previous experiences, opening myself up to people too quickly or to the wrong people who made fun of it. And then, of course, you're going to shut the gates and then completely block yourself. However, again, we need to put the full trust in ourselves, knowing we'll meet the right people along the way to help us navigate through this and make change.
Yeah, absolutely. So for someone who is like really struggling with confidence and really like don't trust themselves, they don't really know who they are, don't really know what they want in life, like what are some tips that you could give that person to just, obviously you can't just give someone a tip and they're going to go from not like feeling good at all to feeling amazing, like just like that. But like, what are some tips that they could start implementing right now to start the process of getting to that point?
What comes to mind right now is a few things. The first one is very underrated, is actually finding what your core values are. And it doesn't necessarily mean like core values around like business, but like your personal life. Like, what do you value the most? And if you don't know where to start, go on Google, search core values, and a list of 100 things will come up. But this is something that I go through thoroughly with every client of mine when I onboard them. And there's like a whole process going, cool, like what it is that makes you happy, what doesn't make you happy, where are you wanting to better yourself, what are your passions, what are you scared of? And like, we're able to combine them all together to make them realize, okay, I value, let's say, health, I value financial freedom, I value family, I value love. But you also want to see if these core values are aligning with your everyday choices and actions. So let's say we value health. Are we aligning ourselves to success with our health? Yes, we train daily or we move our bodies. We're eating nourishing foods. We go to bed when we say we're going to go to bed. We're feeling rested. We're recovering optimally. We have the 80-20 rule of food when we want to eat certain, foods that are not really, on plan, like that cheeseburger you told me about.
Yeah. Too much dairy for this girl.
Yeah, yeah. Oops. But yeah, so let's say, if someone's wanting to build confidence, but they're noticing that they value health, but they're constantly prioritizing work over their own training by coming up with excuses going, oh, I skipped my alarm, so I'm just going to go straight to work. Oh, I can't be bothered training after work. I'm just going to sit in front of the TV and just watch Netflix. Like, you're deflecting your own values. And then by doing that, you're breaking those promises to yourself. So how are you going to build confidence from not being able to stay aligned, but also to commit to the promises you've told yourself that you're going to do? Because I'm sure if your best mate came over and wanted you to help them with a certain thing, you jump off the fucking couch and help them. But when it comes to our own well-being, people tend to put it aside. So I would definitely look at the values, like where are you sitting with that? And the next point really aligns with the values is taking personal responsibility. This was a huge one for me last year in the midst of my breakup and the car accident. Like, 2023 was a fucked up year. And
I agree.
And sometimes when negative tendencies happen in our life, whether it was in our control or out of our control, we blame. We point the finger. We're like, oh, it was their fault. They did this to me, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, like, we have full control of how we react or how we behave on a daily basis, even when it's like fucking hurtful. Like, I'm not saying breakups, you should be like, yeah, cool, see you later, bye. It's like, of course you're going to be in the midst of grief. Of course you're going to be sad. But it's just like, how long are you going to give your power away to that person by you navigating this grief? So to rewind back to the personal responsibility is going, okay, well, if we value health and we're not prioritizing our actions to it, where are you lacking that personal responsibility? And why are you not keeping those promises? Like, you can't blame the fucking weather, oh, it's raining, so I'm not going to go for a walk. Guess what? You have an umbrella. Use that, or go to the gym, go on a treadmill. Like, for every problem, there's a solution. But we're too often, people stay stuck in that fixed mindset and we'll blame external environments not to actually hit their goals, which then refers to you being less confident.
Yeah, 100%. I love everything that you just said so much. And like I said, I did a post about this the other day where I said that, if you had a friend and they continuously said, I'm going to meet you at this coffee shop at 4 p.m. and then they never, ever show up, like, fuck, you wouldn't trust that friend. You would be like, oh, they're never showing, or they're always late. And eventually you would probably stop hanging out with them. The same thing goes for yourself. Exactly like you said, if you say to yourself, I'm someone who really likes to be healthy, but yet every single night when you say you're going to go to the gym, you sit on the sofa, you have KFC, you don't go to the gym and you make up some excuse, of course you're not going to build a great relationship to yourself if you're constantly going against what you say is important to you. But it's actually crazy how little, like, very, very few people know what's important to them. Like, when you ask them, it's like, you know, what do you like, or who are you? Oh, I'm a mom, or I'm like a bodybuilder, or I am an accountant, or whatever. They don't actually know what is truly important for them, like what actually makes them happy.
Yeah, it's so true. And you know what? I can resonate with that because for so many years, I was that person. People would be like, oh, so like Sig, like who are you? And I'll be like, I'm a coach. And they'll be like, yeah, but that's your job. Like what else? And I really had to sit with it and be like, oh shit, like my identity right now is just my work. Like that's not okay. Like there's so many really cool aspects of me that have nothing to do with my job. And again, it's like sitting with it going, as you mentioned, like what makes you happy? What makes you click? What do you enjoy doing? And we get so stuck in this world of the hard grind of work, yet we forget the other elements of life. Perfect example is I had a conversation with my mentor about financial freedom. Too often people think about financial freedom, about earning big lumps of money and doing whatever they fucking want to do, which to a degree that's correct. But financial freedom to some people will be like buying a coffee every day without the worry of having to budget it. Financial freedom could mean paying your rent without having to worry about it. It's just like going out for dinner once a week or every fortnight with girlfriends and not having to worry about it. Like it looks so different to everyone. But again, with social media, it presents itself with a different idea where you have to have a Range Rover, you have to have a $5.5 million house. And it's just like, well, what if I don't want that? What if I don't give a shit about what car I drive? What if I just want financial freedom so I can travel? You know what I mean? So, and people are getting stuck in that comparison going, oh, well, if their financial freedom is that, then surely I need that. It's just like, no, 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 no. Like they're painting a picture of what they enjoy doing. That doesn't necessarily mean that you will enjoy it as well.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I think that's something that being here in Bali has really taught me, that financial freedom is like if you can afford to go out, like go for a coffee and you can have a meal out, you can pay for your bike, you can pay for your rent, perfect. That's like, you don't really need anything else. And that people here are very minimalistic. Like they're like, I'm happy like this. Like I don't need the fanciest bike. I don't need the fanciest villa. I don't need any of that stuff. Whilst I found myself really getting caught up in that when I lived in Bondi, and it was like, you know, oh, how much are you paying for your apartment? And like, what, how much does your watch cost? And how much, oh, did you buy that expensive Chanel bag, whatever? Like, you know, very materialistic. And I've never really been that kind of person, but being there, I was like, oh, well, maybe I should want like a Rolex watch, even though I've fucking never worn a watch in my life, just because that's what other people wanted. And for them, that was success. And like you said, like, it really did make you think like, oh, well, if that means that they're successful, then maybe I need that too to be successful.
Yeah. And again, success looks so different to people. You know, there's people out there who do enjoy the material side of things of life. And that's fine. If that actually brings you complete joy, knowing that you have been able to invest $5,000 into a Gucci bag and that makes you happy, you do you, boo. Like that's totally fine.
Yeah.
If you're buying the bag for avoiding a certain feeling or trying to be someone, to pretend to be someone because your other friends are doing the same, then you have to question yourself going, okay, like, why am I doing this? Like, what's the purpose? And like you mentioned, human needs are so minimalistic. It's literally food, water, rent, and like, you know, every so often you go out. It's not that much.
No, 100%. I also wanted to segue into like your values and how in relationships and dating, because I really found that once I started becoming really clear on what my values were, like, yeah, I kind of just went through a kind of a breakup, like someone who I was seeing for 3 months recently at the start of the year. But I, like, even though that obviously didn't work out, I still felt like, wow, I've attracted someone who actually makes me happy and who actually obviously not the right person for me, but he was still so much more in line with what was important to me, because I had now become extremely clear on what I wanted and who I was. Whilst before, I felt like I was just kind of, you know, throwing spaghetti on the wall, seeing what stuck, because I had no idea. But yeah, like, can you tell us about, like, when what you went through and how you found, like, the work that you've done on yourself, how that kind of played into that as well?
So I fell into the typical situation of dating a narcissist, and I was so blinded to it. And we all have narcissist tendencies in us that we don't really realize. And narcissists, they pretty much like present this picture that they're living their ideal life. They will tell you what you want to hear. They'll do all the things. However, along the line, the actions don't align with the words. And that's when I started noticing like these loopholes within the relationship with I had with this person, where I valued health quite a bit and they didn't. So again, that was kind of like a, I don't want to say a red flag. Well, it kind of is a red flag, because again, if you're valuing health so much and the person you're with does not care about what they eat, what they train, or how they're living, in a way, it's not going to be aligned. So that's a big value of mine, like health and having common interests as well. It doesn't necessarily have to, you know, my next partner doesn't have to wake up with me every morning and meditate for 20 minutes because I'm doing it. I would like them to have like some form of interest in what I'm doing and like why I'm doing it. And who knows, like possibly they will feel inspired to do something similar to that. And I find a lot of people make the mistake of trying to change their partners because they're doing something. And I think the beautiful thing about partnership is there's always going to be the yin and yang. You're not going to be exactly the same as your partner. And to be honest, you probably shouldn't, because then it's fucking boring. Like, you know, like where's the spice between that? So health was a big one. And what's the other one? My God, there's so many that I'm like trying to like navigate through. The narcissism, obviously, that's not ideal, you know, for someone who, what's the word I'm looking for? Not forbids you, but makes you feel as if you're crazy, pretty much.
Gaslighting.
Yeah, massive, massive gaslight. And it's interesting because like during the relationship, I didn't really realize that matter till, you know, we ended it. And I was just like, oh, wow. Like this whole time I was trying to be someone who I wasn't because they told me that they wanted to date a certain person like that. And I lost myself in that relationship. I really lost a part of myself, which obviously was very detrimental to my health. What else? Boundaries. I feel as if boundaries need to be set in relationships as well. And not necessarily like in a really like negative way, but knowing your boundaries around communication as well, knowing how to perceive it and how to take it as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that it's so easy to lose yourself in a relationship. Like, who doesn't want to be loved and feel desired and feel like, you know, you have that person and that security? And again, it goes back to what we said at the start of the podcast, that yeah, sure, it might not be 100% right, but it's still familiar, it still feels safe, you've been there, you know exactly what's going to happen. And that's, even though you deep down might know that this isn't the person for me, it's still safer than letting him go and then being completely alone and never not knowing when you're going to meet someone again.
And you know what? That last relationship taught me a lot about myself, how I was settling for the fact of settling because of that wound of not wanting to be rejected or abandoned. And I see that a lot with women, but also with men. And again, like we're all human. We're all wanting to be loved and cherished. We also need to really come back and stand in our power going, is this relationship actually going to be serving me a positive reason to being with them. And if not, it's just like, okay, well, it's a matter of walking away and not settling. The best part is when people try and justify their reasons for staying with someone who's no good for them when they know exactly they shouldn't be with that person.
Yeah. Yes. And we've all done it.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Can totally relate. But I think that once you become really clear on how do I want to feel in a relationship, it's going to become so much easier for you to see that, is this person making me feel loved, saved, listened to, understood, desired, whatever, like what's important to you? If not, then no, you do have to let him go or her go. And just, again, it comes back to that trust and the confidence within yourself that I am going to be okay no matter what happens. Like, I'm going to attract the right person into my life. They're going to come into my life when I am ready for it. It is fucking, like, it sounds so easy, but it's scary as hell.
And you know what? The most underrated thing that people don't look into is treating yourself the way you would want to be treated. Because too often we'll say we want our partners to, I don't know what comes to my head, like open the door for us when we walk in, or cook us dinner, or buy us flowers, or buy us a massage, or take us to the movies. It's just like, start doing all those little things for yourself. And it sounds very fucking corny because you're probably like, why would you do that? It's just like, well, you're showing yourself love. And the more love you're going to show yourself, then the more you're going to be able to receive it from other people, and it won't feel so cringy.
Yeah, no, 100%. You need to be the love that you seek.
100%.
No, I love that. So obviously, like, you went through like a pretty tough breakup, and then now you're a single girl. How, for people who have been or are in similar situations to you, like, do you think that there's a certain time frame or like something to look out for, like when you are ready to start dating again? Like, or yeah, like, what is your view on that?
It's so funny because when I broke it off with my ex at the start of last year, I was in the midst of like grief, but then I was trying to avoid my grief by dating again. And I went on the apps I was literally avoiding like the pain that I was suffering. I was just talking to random men. And to be honest, it was a waste of fucking time because I wasn't into them. I wasn't into the whole dating thing. And then I stopped, and that was probably like 2 months after the breakup. And then maybe a month or two after that, the healing process just began a little bit easier. I was able to converse with other people. I was able to put myself in situations where I wasn't, because, you know, I was single. And then I also deleted the apps because they were just annoying me. So I started meeting people out in public or through friends. And that was probably about 5 to 6 months after the breakup. Now, mind you, as someone who works from home, I've realized how I need to put myself out there a little bit more, because if you don't, you're literally just going to keep yourself in this little cocoon and just become this woman who just talks to herself or her girlfriends. So the mission is obviously to put yourself in situations that you normally wouldn't. So it's actually going out to networking events or social events with people who are single, who are wanting to meet other people, not necessarily just for dating, but like, make new friends. Like, if you're finding that the friends you're with right now aren't serving a purpose, go do some activities that you enjoy doing, whether it's like breath work, meditation, dancing, go to a new gym. Like, there's so many options there. But again, we're so too comfortable being in our own little bubble that if to put ourselves out there seems so scary that we end up not doing it. But guess what? If you don't do it, you're not going to meet fucking people. Like last year in Bali, I asked someone out and we went on a date.
Love that.
So like that would not have happened if I didn't go to Bali and I didn't actually put myself in that uncomfortable situation by reaching out to this man and going like, hey, we should have something to eat. And he was just like, cool, let's do it. Like, it could have gone either way, no and or yes. So
yeah, for sure. And like, to not be so afraid of rejection. And I think that sometimes us women hold on to this like idea that men should always be the ones reaching out, or, you know, oh, like I have so many girlfriends who say this, like, nah, I would never text a guy first. I would never ask someone on a date. Every single guy that I've ever talked to have said, like, I would love for a woman to ask me out. I would love for someone to take the initiative. And, you know, I don't think that that means that they don't have that masculine energy that we want. It just shows that, oh, fuck, like, she's a high value woman. She knows what she wants. She's not afraid to get it. But then that means I have to step it up as a man and, like, be that masculine that she needs to be able to match her energy.
100%. It's so funny because I saw a TikTok video of this like English guy giving a talk to Australian men, how they need to step it up and start approaching women. So again, like there is this issue going around where men are not coming up to women, but then again, some of them don't have the confidence or are scared of that rejection because women can be quite ruthless as well, you know. Some women that I've come across will be like, oh, ew, like, I don't want to talk to you, or like, be very nasty instead of just being like, hey, like, I'm not interested. So it's no wonder why we have this like push and pull around dating, because men are scared to approach us, but then us women wanting to be approached, and it's not even happening.
Exactly. I think sometimes, especially in the past, I've definitely acted out of a way of like an anxiety kind of thing. That's like, oh, I just feel so anxious. I just need to do something right now. And I just ask someone out. And then, oh, I feel relieved. And then you get that high of like, oh my God, what's going to happen? What's going to say? And then you get that crash. So I think that for me in the past, I've definitely asked people out from an anxious standpoint. Whereas now it's more of, you know what? Why would I sit here and wait for him to ask me out? If I want to ask him out, I'm going to ask him. If he says no, I'm going to be okay no matter what. And I get rejected too. Like, everyone gets rejected. It's fucking not a big deal. Like, you're allowed to have different opinions. If you want to go on a date, if you don't want to go on a date, like, how else would you know if you don't ask?
100%. Like, what's the worst that could happen? They say no, and then you just move on with your day. Like, it was maybe a few weeks ago, or maybe at the end of last year. There was like a new coffee shop that opened nearby me, and the barista is really cute. And we got chatting. I was just like, hey, like, we should, you know, catch up outside of this. He's like, yeah, sure, grab my number. We messaged back and forth, but then there was just nothing eventuated from it. So I was just like, cool, whatever. Like, you know, I put the balls in the court. I asked him out. It didn't eventuate. Cool, you move on to the next.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't mean that you are not lovable, that you're not good enough, or that you're not beautiful, or whatever it is. It just means that you are not for this person for whatever reason, and that's on them. That's perfectly fine. You're not meant to be everyone's flavor. Like, you're meant to be your own specific, personal, beautiful, unique who you are, and then not everyone's gonna attract to that, and that's completely fine. It doesn't mean that you need to change.
It's so funny that we're talking about this because last week I went to this networking event where it's just for single people.
Oh,
And I
cool.
remember, and I went on my own, and I remember walking and going, oh shit, like it's just me. I'm actually going to have to like make conversation with people who don't know me. And the anxiety was like rising up, and I was just like, just leave, Sig, just leave. And I was just, no, I'm not fucking leaving. Like, I'm already here. And I was just like, oh, just go to the toilet, Sig. Just go to the. I'm like, no, for fuck's sake. It's like a battle in my head.
Yeah,
Like, do
yeah.
one thing, do the other thing. But once you start talking to people, it just becomes so much easier. Like, people actually want to get to know you. That's why you're in these events, whether it's you to meet like new friends or dating. It's just like putting yourself out there. And of course, like, that's where confidence comes. It's actually doing those uncomfortable things.
Yeah, and you're gonna see that even if they say no, you still survived. You're still gonna be here. And I was talking to someone about this. A guy randomly just came up to me in the bar and asked for my number. And I was like, that's like, I actually love that you did that. Even if I would have said no and I wouldn't have found you attractive, like, that still would have been such a huge compliment for me. So, like, even if the guy or the girl, whoever you ask out, says no and they don't want to go on a date with you for whatever reason, that's still a huge boost for that person. So even if you get a disappointing answer, like, that's still like, you probably made their day. Like, just freaking do it. Like, how amazing isn't it? Like, it's the best feeling ever.
100%. I think also something that's not openly spoken enough about is the downside of being single by having those like moments of despair and being upset by being single. And I know I had like, it's not that I had it. I do still have that fair share feelings going. Sometimes when I'm around my friends who have beautiful partners and like I really look up to their healthy dynamics, it's like sitting there going, fuck, like I wish I had someone with me right now to like experience this. But we also need to remind ourselves like a timeline is so different to someone else's, but it's not losing that hope and falling back into that victim mindset going, oh, well, I'm never going to meet someone. It's just me. You know, I'm 35. I'm getting old. You know, the egg count is getting lower. But like, just let's stop like telling these stupid stories to ourselves and like start making changes. Because again, like your fixed mindset is not going to help you. What's going to help you is actually putting yourself out there and making changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that is completely normal to sit there and be like, oh, I wish I had that. And I think that's, you know, that's completely fine that we feel like that. I think it's a good thing to feel like we do want that healthy relationship and we don't want to be alone for the rest of our lives. And yeah, like you said, I think that you just have to kind of not get stuck in that, oh, what's gonna happen? No one's ever gonna love me. I'm gonna be alone forever. Like this, it didn't work with this person. Did I make the right decision? Maybe I should go back to him and blah 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 blah. Like, no, just trust yourself. Keep putting yourself out there. Keep doing the work on yourself. And when it's time, the right person will come along. For some people, that person comes along in their freaking teen years and they stay together for the rest of their lives. Some people don't meet the right person. Like my mom met her partner when she was like 47 or something, I think. And they are so happy. Like that's a relationship I look up to so much. And if I can have that, I'd be absolutely buzzing. But like she was 47 and, you know, so for certain people, it just takes a little bit longer and that's okay.
Yeah. And it's being okay with that as well. And you made such a good point is that what came up to my mind is like, we're wanting to be loved by others, but we're not giving that love to ourselves. So we need to start changing that narrative to put more love into ourselves. And that could look in various ways. Again, like what I mentioned before is like taking you out on dates or, you know, doing stuff that you enjoy doing usually when you would be in a relationship or when you would be with your friends as well.
Yeah. Oh, I love my solo dates. Now I'm at the point where I'm like, no, guys, I can't hang out tonight. I'm taking myself on a date.
It's the best. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. You get to choose the restaurant. You don't have to like pick and choose between Mexican and Italian. You can just go for whatever you want. If you want a drink, you have a drink. If you don't want a drink, you don't drink. You don't have the conversation. Have a good book. Done. Perfect.
Perfect date.
I love it. I love it. Well, Sing, it's been so nice chatting to you. And I was just thinking like, fuck, this is like, yeah, completely reverse roles because you're normally the one interviewing. So this is
it's nice.
Yeah, isn't it? But before we go, do you want to give yourself a little plug? Like, obviously, I'll link all your stuff in the show notes. But yeah, like, are you taking on clients? Where can people find you? Yeah, who do you help?
So right now I'm taking on mentorship clients for those who are coaches. It's a 6-month mentorship. You can find all the information in my Instagram page. It's Sig Fisher. And for those girlies who are into women's health and wanting a little bit of navigation around body confidence and mindset, I also have my Women's Wellness Society membership as well, which is all on my link tree in Instagram.
Gorgeous. Yes, we'll link all of that in the show notes as well and highly recommend you go check out Sig's Instagram, even just like for a little bit of like a boost in the morning. Like I just love your dancing videos. You're just like having the time of your life in your kitchen. It's just love it. And you're a good dancer. Like you have some moves.
Thank you. I try.
Next time you come to Bali, we'll go for a night out somewhere and dance.
Oh, hell yes. Definitely.
Well, guys, as usual, please remember to take a screenshot, share the podcast on your stories, let us know what you thought, tag myself, tag Sig, and yeah, it just makes our day. It's just the best feeling ever when you do that. So please, 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 please make sure you do it. All right. Well, thanks again for coming on, and everyone else, I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Don't go.
just yet. I just wanted to quickly jump in here and remind you that this is the last chance to sign up to my End Binge Eating Workshop. Or, I mean, it's not the last chance, depends on when you listen, but please make sure you do sign up to this. This is going to be a freaking incredible workshop. It's online. It's 6 p.m. at the 3rd of April, Sydney time. So make sure that you do click the link below, because if you miss this one, like, you are going to regret it. If you're struggling with binge eating, if you're struggling with overeating, or honestly, any kind of self-sabotage, because what I'm going to teach you in this workshop is something that you're going to be able to apply to any self-sabotage, any addiction that you want to break. This is all about habit change. So neuroplasticity, how you can create new habits, break old ones, and replace those old habits with these new ones and actually make changes for good. This is a workshop where that you do not want to miss out on. So click the link, message me on Instagram if you have any questions, and hopefully I will see you there.